Run. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. Yesterday, finally a day where all scheduled events could come off without any weather issues. Track and field and baseball on our schedule yesterday. Here on Tigers, we're in Sioux Falls. All athletes were at the O'Gorman Invitational huge track meet that had over 30 teams involved. And a few Tiger athletes participated in the opening day of the Howard Wood Dakota Relays as well. Results from the O'Gorman invite for the Tiger girls. Zaniah Lanier was 4th on the 100, 6th in the 200. Ava Wambach placed 7th in the 100. Girls Relays placed 5th, 4x1, 4th in the 4x2. For the Tiger boys, Thackeray Hansen won the AA 100 and 200. Colton Ogle placed 3rd in the high jump. Relays, the Huron boys 2nd in the AA medley and 8th in the 4x100. DeSmet, Iroquois Lake Preston were also at O'Gorman yesterday. DeSmet girls, Charlie McCune placed 5th in the Class A 300-meter hurdles. DeSmet boys, Gannon Henrich was 2nd, the Class A 100 and won the Class A 200. George Jensen was 2nd in the open high jump. Trace Van Regenmorger was 8th Class A 110-meter hurdles. Caden Fass placed 6th in the long jump. Relays, DeSmet boys were 2nd in the Class A medley. Iroquois Lake Preston, Hadley Holt placed 2nd in the girls' open discus. And in relays, the Shark girls were 6th in the 4x100, 8th in the 4x200. Iroquois Lake Preston boys placed 7th in the 4x100 Class A relay. Some results locally from Howard Wood Track and Field. James Valley Christian girls placed 2nd, Class B, 4x800-meter relay. Wessington Springs boys placed 5th, Class B, 4x800. Jeff Boche, Sanborn Central Woonsocket, placed 5th in the open high jump. The two special events last night at Howard Wood, the girls' special 800 meters, Berkeley, England, Mount Vernon, Plankinton was the winner. And the boys' special, a 200, Jaron McNichols, Bismarck, North Dakota, was the winner. That's the wrap-up of track and field from yesterday. Here on Tiger Baseball, after going nearly 3 weeks without playing, we're playing for the second time in 2 days, a doubleheader at O'Gorman. O'Gorman came out with the sweep in the first game. OG wins 5-3. For Huron, Gabe Waldner had 2 singles and an RBI. Carson Evans doubled. Trace Wenz, Peyton Bischoff had singles. Jack Peterson started and took the loss. Tommy Martin finished up for Huron. In the second game, O'Gorman shut out Huron 4-0. Trace Wenz, Carson Evans each had a pair of singles, and Peyton Bischoff singled as well. Evans started and pitched into the fourth inning, took the loss. Logan Leyendecker came on in relief. That's our results from yesterday. A look at the schedule for today. Howard Wood continues track and field today, and Huron Tiger boys tennis has a quadrangular today in Brookings with Huron Aberdeen and Yankton headed to Brookings. That is the rundown of our local schedule for today. Another note on the schedule, Monday, Tuesday, ESD Boys Tennis Tournament scheduled for Pier, but it has been moved to Sioux Falls to be able to play indoors due to the rainy forecast that's in place for Monday, Tuesday. So the event will be in Sioux Falls and played at Match Point. And of course, they're set up for their state meet coming up the following week. Reminder, Huron High School Athletic Awards program is going to be this coming Thursday, 5 o'clock at the arena. Each sports coaching staff will hand out MVP, Most Improved, and Tiger Award winners. Several scholarships will be announced, as will the Special Senior Awards. Seating will be on the east side bleachers and balcony. The program will end by 6, as the first night of the Pops concert will begin at 7 next Thursday at the high school auditorium. Reminder for boys basketball players, the summer activities are out. Registration can be taken at this time. for high school. Open gym will begin on June 5th, and there will be a special camp to get ready for the team camps. That will be May 28th through the 31st at the middle school gym. Open gyms begin June 5th. Individual workouts begin June 5th. Pretty much the same schedule for middle school as well. Open gym begins on June 5th. Individual workouts begins on June 5th. To sign up and for more information, contact head coach Tim Budenhagen here in Huron. The run continues for the Minnesota Twins, 11 in a row as they defeat the Red Sox in the opener at Target Field last night. With the recap, here's Chris Atterbury.
On a gorgeous Friday night in downtown Minneapolis, the Twins look to run their winning streak to 11 consecutive games. Only four times in franchise history had a Twins team won 11 or more games in a row. Got off to an auspicious start. A rare error by Carlos Correa allowed speedy Jaron Duran to reach to open the ballgame. And then Rafael Devers doubled off of Chris Paddock into the right center field gap. Second and third, nobody out. But then Chris Paddock turned the whole game on its head. He struck out Tyler O'Neill. He got the rest of the side in order without a run scoring. And in fact, at one point, he retired 10 straight. An Eddie Julian C9 ground ball had given him a 1-0 lead to play with. He did have a man aboard in the sixth after a walk to Devers, but he took care of O'Neill again.
1-2 on the way. Swung on him, miss, got him. There's that fastball elevated. O'Neill chased. So three strikeouts in the inning. They strand one, going to the bottom of the sixth.
Paddock, brilliant. Six scoreless two-hit innings. He struck out six and walked one. But it was still just a 1-0 ball game. Griffin Jacks came in, struck out the side in the top of the seventh. And in the bottom of the seventh, the floodgates opened as the Twins sent nine men to the plate. Four of them score on three hits and a costly error charge to the Boston Red Sox. Jaron Duran comes on late. He saves it. His first appearance in front of the home crowd all year long was exciting. And the Twins celebrate a 5-2 win and their 11th straight victory right here on your home for Twins baseball.
Twins look to make it an even dozen today. Afternoon game at Target Field, and Pablo Lopez will get the start. Pregame to begin at 12:30 here on KOKK. Minnesota Timberwolves open up their Western Conference semifinal playoff series, first game of the best of seven in Denver, coming up later today. Mike Conley Jr., point guard for the Wolves, says the team coming off their sweep of Phoenix last weekend, they're built to make a run this year.
Yeah, you know, that's the way our team is built. You know, we've got obviously Ant and Cat and guys that can take us home, but we have a very deep roster. We have guys who, you know, maybe not have played as much this series, but can win us games next series, and guys who didn't play as well right now, and you know, one game one or two, but they play well in game three and four. So, you know, we have a bunch of ways we can win, a bunch of different ways to attack you, and that's been our strength.
Pre-game 5:30, tip-off shortly after 6 today here on KOKK. Up this morning on Dakota Sports Saturday, we have racing coming up next weekend at Dakota State Fair Speedway. Details with Ken Lindblad. We have a Huron High School graduate that's been climbing the ladder in the athletic department at the University of South Dakota, Matt Watson. We'll visit with him and a little more on the Twins win and the winning streak as well. That's your Dakota Sports Saturday show coming up at about 10 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday Morning Scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning. Back on Dakota Sports Saturday, we talk stock car racing. Dakota State Fair Speedway will run a four-show program again this spring and summer with the first race coming up here shortly, Saturday, May 11th at the Grandstand. Ken Lindblad, track announcer for Dakota State Fair Speedway, joins us. And, well, let's just start May 11th. You call it Summer Shakes. Give us the details.
Okay, it's coming up on Saturday, May 11th, as you said, sponsored by Westway Trailers, Under the Sun Rental, and Dr. Robert Holm. This one's going to feature the Midwest Sprint Touring Series, the MSTS 410 Sprint Cars. This is the big ones, the big 410s, and they'll be out there also with the Wasota Streets, Mid Mods, and Super Stock. And that's, again, our big opener on May 11th. And if I could add just one thing, we're going to do our first Backstreet Cruisers cruise that day, too. And we'll have that behind the grandstand, a little show and shine, and we're going to do a little tour around town and then be back out there up until about 3:30 or so. So if people want to see some classic cars, they can come out and do that day too.
And a Camaro will lead the way.
Oh, we'll have the Camaro out there, and there'll be a lot of cars. I see a lot of new stuff running around town.
Well, as far as the race goes on the 11th, the sprints are going to be a big draw. MSTS, you say that is something fairly new.
This is a new one, organized, and I don't know a lot of the details about it yet, but it's going to bring in the sprint cars from North Dakota, South Dakota, out west. I know our friend Shane Liebig, he used to be the sprint car driver out here whenever we had the sprints. He's got a couple of sprinters, and he'll be bringing a couple of his 410s out here, and one of his drivers comes in all the way from Australia. So we're going to be probably the first time we've got somebody besides Canada and USA. We'll have an Australian driver, too.
Well, Australia, that's certainly fun and a long ways away. But I guess the whole point of this tour is to get some more of the local, at least regional, drivers to come to Huron, because whenever the sprints are here, they're always very popular.
They do, and usually we see the 360s, and those are lightning fast anyway, but these 410s, it's been a long time since they've been here, since back when we had the World of Outlaws Gum Out series here years ago. So I think it's really going to be something special for the people. If you really like the sprint cars, you're going to love these. So come on out and see us for that one.
And, of course, with the three Wasota classes running as well, there's going to be a lot of familiar names we'll know from those.
You bet. All our regulars will be back with that one once again. For May 11th.
And you mentioned this first race on May 11th, since we went to this limited four-show schedule, four-race schedule back the past several years. That first race, be it April or May, seems like weather always takes it out. We haven't been able to get that first race in very often. Hopefully I'm not jinxing.
No, we're very well aware of that, that first one's always a tough one to get in, but we're due to have one, so I think we're going to get her this time.
And just look at those other three races in particular, the two wheel jam races, something you've been doing here for the past several years, the Thursday and Saturday of wheel jam. The Thursday race, though, a little different angle to run that one this year.
You know, I want to tell everybody that Orville every year says this may be the last year. But one thing that Orville wanted to do before he left the racing altogether was to have a special fan appreciation night, a memorial night, if you will, and that's what this one's going to be on June the 6th. June the 6th event is going to be fan appreciation. The big deal is it's going to be $5 to get in. $5 admission at the grandstand. That's across the board. That's kids and everybody. $5 admission to get in on June the 6th, sponsored by Dakota Land Federal Credit Union. It's going to have the Wasota Street Stock, Mid Mod, Super Stock, and Tri-State late models. And again, I can't emphasize enough, $5. You heard that right. $5 for everybody, kids included, to get into the races on that particular night. Now, again, I started to say, you know, Orville says every year this is probably going to be his last. Trust me, folks, Orville is he's getting tired, as we all are. And we've had so many of us that have stuck together and made this thing, or helped to make this thing happen for 29 seasons, I think it is now, with Orville this year. And this is the one thing he's wanted to do. He's talked about this for a number of years. It's going to be an appreciation night. We're going to take time out during that program. I think it's like 24 employees that we've had that are no longer with us. And this is going to be our way of saying thanks to them and thanks to the race fans and everybody from being there. It's just going to be a super night on June 6th. Then on June 8th is our traditional Challenge Cup night, sponsored by Olympic Motorsports. And they will present that Challenge Cup 22 Olympic Motors of Huron. And that'll feature mid-mods and the thrilling tri-state late models back there again, all part of Wheel Jam on the fairgrounds.
So wrap it up, back to the first race, and again, that is on Saturday, May 11th, and just planning to get one in. The weather's got to fall right at some point, you would think, but boy, just a big attraction there, because anytime you bring sprint cars in, boy, everybody just seems to get really excited.
The sprints, the big ones, these aren't the 360s, folks, these are the 410s, these are the big sprint cars, and we should have a good field of those on May 11th, along with our Wasota Streets, mid-mods, and super stocks. So a great opener Saturday night, May 11th, starting at 7 sharp.
Ken Lindblad, Dakota Promotions, Dakota State Fair Speedway. Again this year, a four-race schedule for the spring and summer, with the first race on Saturday, May 11th. They call it Summer Shakes. Wasota Street Stock, Mid Mod, and Super Stock will run. Then the Midwest Sprint Touring Series MSTS 410 Sprint Cars as well. And that will start at 7 o'clock May 11th on the grandstand at the State Fairgrounds. Up next, going to bring Matt Watson in. He's going to talk to a Huron High School graduate that's climbing the ladder in college athletics. He's an associate AD at the University of South Dakota, 2012 graduate. Mr. Watson is in next on Dakota Sports KOKK. Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Matt Watson sitting in here for Mr. Jeff Duffy in order to talk to Mr. Jaron Duffy. Jaron, thanks so much for joining us here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Matt.
So let's go all the way back. You were a part-timer at this very radio station. Did you take anything out of when you worked here? Did you take anything that you brought out into the world that you used in the rest of your life, Jaron?
Honestly, yes. It was my first full-time job, but my first job that I had in the summer, I think it was my freshman year of high school. And there's one portion of it that directly applies to what I'm doing now. So when I was working either a high school game, even a Twins game during the summer, there's always media breaks during games, and we'd either fill it in with national commercial logs or local spots. I still work with our local commercial spots to this day. So in part of my position, which we'll talk about in a little bit, I work on the sponsorship side of things, and we work a lot with our different partners on local breaks, national breaks for different USD sporting events. So it's something that I was familiar with fresh out of college, and that's something that applied directly with what I'm doing now. So beyond just working on people skills, working with people like you, like my dad, like everyone at the radio station there. It was nice to be able to be familiar with how a game log works, how media timeouts work. So I did take that away from a position, which isn't easy to do when you're younger and just looking for any sort of position to start get your feet wet in the professional field. So it was kind of cool to have something that applied directly to what I'm doing now.
And we will get to not only USD, but another stop that you made professionally. But we're still on the old Renaissance tour here. So you graduate. What year did you graduate high school?
So I graduated from Huron High School in 2012.
2012, and then you go straight to USD. Is that right?
Yep. So I did my undergrad work at USD. Graduated there in 2017 with my undergrad degree.
So now, during that time, do you get anything in the media world? Do you like volunteer for something, or did you get a job in some sort of media during that time when you're going to school?
Yes. So I believe it was about my sophomore year of college here at USC. I began working in the athletic department on the game day production team. So there's a wide variety of tasks there. So I worked directly under Joe Tenti in the marketing department. But what happened there on game days was there's a group of 15 to 20 students that kind of rotate through different game day positions. I could be doing anything from running a camera on game day that goes on the stream on GoYotes.com, up on the video board at games, running replay for the stream, playing the music at games, picking contestants to participate in on-court promotions like a half-court shot, a shooting contest, handing out giveaway items to fans, really whatever they needed help with that day. Was what I did during my undergrad years here at USD. So, again, a good way to kind of get my feet wet in the sporting industry and kind of see how a game day works at a Division I level.
So 2017, you're done with your first degree at USD. And if I remember this correctly, because obviously I'm on this side, I'm working with your dad, but there was some, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe I'm completely off base, but there was some, you weren't exactly sure where you wanted to go from there. You weren't dedicated right then and there at that moment to continuing your education, or am I wrong on that?
Yeah, that's accurate. I finished my undergrad degree, and I was certainly ready to be done with school if the opportunity presented itself. So I was applying for some different full-time positions at some different athletic departments kind of across the nation there. But then an opportunity opened up within the athletic department at USD. In their athletic marketing department for a graduate assistant position. So what that would entail is kind of going up a level from just running cameras on game days, running music, more toward working directly with some head coaches and some sports on putting together marketing and attendance plans, working a little bit on the revenue generation side of things, and kind of just taking the next step towards a full-time position. But what went with that was going to graduate school as well, which is what I ended up doing. Ended up being a great decision. It's something that if you're going to go to graduate school, it's nice to get it done as soon as your undergrad's done. Wasn't exactly what I had planned at the time, but it worked out well in the end.
So then when do you graduate completely from USD then?
So I graduated completely from USD, I believe it was 2018 or 2019. So I was worked as a graduate assistant for a full year here, but actually finished up my master's degree when I had my next stop over at Iowa State.
Yeah, now we'll get to Iowa State right now, but really a little bit of, if I understand again correctly, a little bit of what Iowa State was you probably, if you wanted to, you could have just stayed at USD. You were already embedded there. You had your undergraduate and graduate degree from there. So you probably could have stayed. The way I understand it, you kind of wanted to get out beyond that USD circle. And I don't know, maybe just to see what's out there or to see how a job would go, that same job would go in another market. Is that accurate? You kind of wanted to get out of that bubble, if not for a long time, at least for just a little bit.
Yeah, that's accurate. And the way my graduate degree was set up was to be a two-year program. So I did plan on being here for another year at USD. So it'd be a two-year graduate assistantship. But during that time, I was encouraged to just look around. If another opportunity presents itself, it certainly wouldn't be something that they would prevent me from doing while I was here at USD. And in the back of my mind, and what I've been told from some of the people who mentored me a bit here at USD in the athletics world, was that eventually you got to go somewhere besides just USD. I learned a lot at USD, but you got to see how other athletic departments operate, especially some at a little bit of a bigger level, like at the Big 12, Power 5 level. Athletic departments just operate a little bit differently. There's more staff. There's a lot to learn there. So that's certainly something I wanted to experience at some point. I always thought that eventually I'd end up back in this area one way or the other, but I was certainly open to going somewhere else, learning a little bit more and kind of broadening my horizons a little bit.
So you do end up getting a job at Iowa State. I remember you were there for a time, and that had to be, just guessing again, but that had to be probably the scariest move, right? Because now you're outside of that USD bubble. You're in a different state, a state that you've never lived in. So that had to be kind of the big jump, huh? Kind of the big scary, the one kind of into adulthood almost.
Yeah. So that was my first full-time position. So it certainly was a jump. I definitely describe it as more exciting than anything. It's certainly a little bit nerve-wracking going somewhere you've never been before. I think I'd been to Ames one time before that for a time when USC played there in the NCAA tournament. But other than that, the next time I was in Ames was when I was interviewing for the position, then moving there a few weeks later. So certainly a big jump, but it was exciting at the time to go to a school the caliber of Iowa State, kind of get out on my own for the first time out of South Dakota, which was a place that I definitely wanted to be, but I was not too far away, and it was nice to kind of be out on my own and kind of spread my wings on my own there. So it was certainly nerve-wracking, but I definitely describe it as exciting. There was a lot going on there, and it was definitely a good opportunity at the time.
And what was your official title there at Iowa State? How long were you there? What kind of things did you do?
So I was there for about a year and a half. My title was Associate for Athletics Marketing. So here at USD, we have one full-time marketing person. At Iowa State, they had five full-time marketing people, so I was the fifth in line there. So it was an entry-level position, but it was exciting for me. I got my first full-time position, so that was cool in itself there, but just to be at Iowa State at the time, what I always tell people is I've learned a lot while I was there, but just experiencing everything was certainly cool. I was there at a really cool time where the football program under Matt Campbell at Iowa State was really taking off. It was Brock Purdy's true freshman year. He became the starting quarterback about four games into the season, and on top of that, David Montgomery was the running back. Keem Butler was a wide receiver for Iowa State. They had multiple draft picks off that team. And then you go to the basketball side of things. Tyrese Halliburton, who's an all-star with the Pacers now, he was a true freshman at Iowa State. Bridget Carlton, who plays for the Minnesota Lynx, was on the women's basketball side. Both teams made the NCAA tournament. Football had one of their best seasons in 20 or 30 years. So it was a really cool time to be at Iowa State. Great opportunity to learn there, but it was cool to see how everything operates at the big time level. So for my position specifically, the sports that I worked with were soccer, gymnastics, and softball. So that was cool to have those sports as kind of my own, to kind of have some different projects to raise attendance, raise revenue for those teams, work closely with those coaches. So it was cool to be off on my own there, meeting new coaches, working on new marketing plans, learning from the staff that was in place there. And then on top of it, men's basketball, women's basketball, volleyball, football, those are kind of all hands-on-deck sports at Iowa State. So just because soccer, gymnastics, softball, those were the sports that I was responsible for, I was still working closely with football. Men's basketball, I got to shoot some cool videos with Brock Purdy, David Montgomery throughout my time there. Worked closely with some alumni, Monte Morris, who's currently on the Minnesota Timberwolves, that we worked at a couple events he was at and worked on some content with him. So it was really cool to get experience what the whole athletic department looks like when it comes together, and really get to work with some successful programs at a high level.
Hey, my morning show co-host is a Niners fan. You don't happen to have Purdy's number, do you? We could maybe give him some pointers?
I'm guessing the number I have for him is probably not the number he's using anymore. But he was coming up at the time, and it was a really big decision. They had a quarterback who was a fifth year coming in. He got hurt. They put their backup quarterback in for a couple games, and all of a sudden they started this true freshman and then just went on this crazy run. And now he's a Super Bowl quarterback for the 49ers. So really cool to see him come full circle.
Crazy, crazy. And, of course, so now we must be around pandemic time. Where were you during the pandemic?
Sure. So at that time, I was back at USD.
Was that after Iowa State or previous to?
That was after Iowa State. Yep, I was back at USD by then.
Okay, so let's get then back into how do you get back to USD from Iowa State? They call you? Did you see a posting? Did somebody that knew you call and say a job's opening up? How'd you end up back at USD?
Yeah, so obviously I was still at Iowa State, planned on being there for another year. I was there a little bit over a year, about a year and a half, and then I got a call from someone within the athletics department at USD. Just letting me know that the director of marketing position had opened up and that they would like me to consider applying for that position. So I, of course, applied for it. My fiance at the time worked in Yankton, obviously from South Dakota, so that was a very attractive position for me. So I applied for that, interviewed for that position over the summer, and ended up getting that role. So going from Iowa State, where I certainly learned a lot, and there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen for the marketing side of things, a lot of support all the way around. And then you get to South Dakota, where it's the mid-major level, where I go from being in charge of soccer, gymnastics, and softball while supporting the other sports, going right into being the main contact for football, men's basketball, women's basketball, volleyball, while also supporting soccer, softball, track, really all the sports. So it was quite the transition, but one that I was super excited for and really excited to get back to Vermillion.
Okay, so then what year do you come back to USD? Where are we at here in the timeline?
Okay, so July of 2019 would be when I got back to USD.
Oh, wow, so you've been back there nearly 5 years.
Yep, the summer will be 5 year anniversary here.
And I understand that you recently got a little promotion.
Yeah, so I've held three different titles since I've been back at USD. So director of marketing, I was really just in charge of the marketing promotion side, social media side of things. Then I believe it was 2021, maybe August or so, I was promoted to assistant AD for marketing and fan engagement. So within that role, I still oversaw everything on the marketing side. But then also became manager for our ticket side of things, our video side of things. So I oversaw those departments as well. And then recently, I believe it was about a month and a half ago, I was promoted to associate AD for fan engagement. So I still oversee marketing, video, ticketing. Now I also oversee our communications department, who handles all our media requests, stats our games, puts out our press releases. I also oversee our Coyote Sports Properties Group, who does all of our sponsorship sales. And then the other one is Sodexo. So they are concessions provider on game days. I'm the liaison between athletics and concessions. So really anything that's revenue generating or touches fans in any way on the fan engagement side of things, that's where I come into play in some capacity.
Well, you mentioned you're married. Your dad tells me you like to fish. It sounds like you got so much going on. How you got time for anything else?
Yeah, during the season, there certainly is not time for it. I was looking at my calendar back from, like, November and October, and every weekend, really, if there's not a football game, there's a volleyball game, or basketball starts up so early now that not a lot of time for it that time of year. But it slows down a little bit more in the spring and certainly into the summertime. So that's certainly where I can get out and golf a little bit or go fishing with the river right over here. But it's nice for this time of year where we can kind of plan and look forward to next year and kind of figure out where we want to be from an attendance side of things, revenue side, and then put some plans into place to show how we're going to get there. So it never really completely slows down, but there are certainly times of the year where you can get more on the planning side, get out of the office at 5 o'clock rather than 10 o'clock at night. So it's a whirlwind, but it's certainly a fun industry to work in.
Well, a little bit about the personal life before we let you go. As you mentioned before, you are with another Huron athlete. You got your high school sweetheart. Fair enough.
Yeah, Caitlin Duffy, whose maiden name is Caitlin Allardings, is my wife. We got married in May of 2020, so right in the heart of the pandemic there. So we're coming up on our four-year anniversary, but she's also a Huron graduate class of 2013, also went to USB and currently works at Northwestern Energy.
Okay, and you had mentioned that she was in Yankton. Have you guys kind of settled on a place yet, or are you still kind of looking around for an in-betweener?
Yeah, so right when I got this position in 2019, we lived in Yankton for about 9 months, and then we bought a house in Vermilion in May of 2020. So we're closing in on 4 years for our anniversary and also the four-year anniversary of getting our house here in Vermilion. So we're Vermilion residents.
Well, very nice. It sounds like things have come together quite well for you. You've been on quite a few adventures. You like being in the sports aspect of things professionally for your real job. It's sometimes I say, because they let me do sports and all, it doesn't really feel like a job most of the time when you're out at all these ball games.
Yeah, no, it's certainly cool. Sometimes you have to look around a little bit and appreciate what you're doing. As I'm sure you've experienced, it's one thing after another, and sometimes you can get a little bogged down. Then you look around and be like, oh, I'm at a game right now doing sponsorship activation, or I'm going to a meeting where we're talking with some season ticket holders about the upcoming season. So as a fellow sports guy that really lives and breathes sports, that's a topic of conversation all the time. So it's cool to have a job where you really get paid to talk about sports, promote the teams here at USD, which are teams I'm certainly passionate about, and also try to get other people to go to games. It's easy to sell something when it's something that you're passionate about. And something that you believe in. It's something where if I had a job in a different industry and lived in Vermilion, I'd certainly be going to games here. So it's something that it's easy to talk about with people, fun talking about the upcoming football season and different projects we have going on. So certainly a cool position.
That was actually going to be one of my last questions. Do your job, buddy. Tell me what's coming up for USD Sports. You guys got anything big on the horizon? Anything going up? You're building new programs? What's exciting for the Yotes?
Sure. So there's been a lot of change within the athletics department. John Schemmel became our new athletic director this past January, and we've seen changes all over the program, and there's a lot of excitement around that. So some of the projects for buildings, we're working on finishing up a new pool that's just across the street from the Dakota Dome, next up on the project list. We're working on renovating the east side of the dome in the coming years and also potentially having an indoor track facility built as well. So some cool projects there, but looking forward to this upcoming season. We're in the planning stages for football and volleyball. Football had their best season at the Division I level this past season. We're really excited with where we're at for season ticket sales on that. And then, of course, our volleyball team won another Summit League, share of a Summit League title this past year, and has really built a powerhouse over there for Coyote volleyball. So we've got some really exciting things going on here at USD. I'm excited to plan and build on those throughout the summer.
Jaron, did I not see a video where you absolutely torched a D-back who got drafted last weekend?
Yeah, so that was a fun video we did back in October. We were promoting one of our football games this past fall. And then Miles Harden, who got drafted by the Cleveland Browns this past weekend, we were having him guard people on campus, and Aiden Bauman, our quarterback, would throw routes to different students on campus. And then at the end, Miles wanted me to go up against him. I teach a class here at USD, and Miles was in my class 2 years ago. So he wanted me to run a route on him. And for everyone else, he just let them kind of run the route. For me, he kind of jammed me on the line, which I wasn't expecting. Then I kind of got loose on him, but then I didn't haul in the pass either. So kind of a cool moment there, but also fun to see athletes here at USC getting drafted in the NFL, and especially when it's people you know, and people that you know are good people.
Speaking of people you know and good people, I knew you were a good one from the beginning, Jaron. You were always a great employee here. I knew you'd go on to bigger and better things. I'm glad to see everything's going so well for you. It was nice to catch up a little bit. You take care of yourself. We'll see you at a Yotes game.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
We'll talk Minnesota Twins baseball next on Dakota Sports KOKK. Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
We're gonna win, Twins, we're gonna score. We're gonna win, Twins, watch that baseball score. Crack out a home run, shout a hip hooray. Cheer for the Minnesota Twins today.
Minnesota Twins continue their weekend series at Target Field with the Boston Red Sox afternoon games for both Saturday and Sunday. Pre-game at 12:30, first pitch at 1:10, Saturday and Sunday on Dakota Sports.
Hi, this is Danny Glatton, and you're listening to Dakota Sports on KOKK, your home for Twins baseball.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning. We wrap up Dakota Sports Saturday. We'll talk Twins baseball. The Twins riding high, now an 11-game winning streak, opened up their home series with the Boston Red Sox with a 5-2 win last night. Was 1-0 for a long time before the Twins came up with three runs in the seventh inning and got a little more comfortable and went on to the 5-2 victory. The story, though, was starting pitcher Chris Paddock. Paddock, who has pitched much better at home than he has on the road, pitched the first six innings of two-hit ball, no runs allowed, and that set the tone for the Twins as they went on to the victory. Manager Rocco Baldelli talked about Paddock coming out and setting the tone.
To roll out there and have one of your guys just kind of step up and go six shutout innings the way that Paddock did, it sets a tone. It gives you the ability to just play the game and not have to really worry about the score. You're just going out there trying to have good at-bats, and when your guy's pitching like that, you feel like if you just have some good at-bats, you're going to win, and it gives you a lot of confidence is what it does.
And Paddock said the tone was set early as the Red Sox got Jhern Duran, a very speedy runner, on base after a rare error by Carlos Correa. And Paddock talked about getting out of that early jam.
Yeah, you know, Correa, you know, lost his footing there just a little bit. And then the double off the wall from Devers. I just kind of stepped off and told myself, hey, you know, control this pitch. You know, execute this pitch at hand. Forget about what happened or what's to come. And I think that helped me right there in the first inning of getting that, you know, no runs across in that first inning after, you know, error and then the leadoff double.
Paddock said he and catcher Ryan Jeffers were on the same page the entire night.
Jeffers did a great job of I just trusted him tonight. You know, I did my homework, he did his. We had our meeting. You know, I had 5 days to prepare for the Red Sox, but it takes a lot of pressure off me when he is as good as he is back there. You know, catchers don't get enough credit for pitcher success. So shout out to him. He kept me locked in. And
Jeffers talked about what he saw from behind the plate.
Patty did a phenomenal job just getting after those guys the whole day. He makes really well from the jump. You know, we're being aggressive, so, you know, getting early outs, keeping his pitch count low. He did a phenomenal job.
Another highlight for the Twins has been the play of Willie Castro. Castro took over at shortstop after Correa went on the injured list. Correa is back, but now Byron Buxton has went on the IL, so we'll see plenty of Castro in center field. Jeffers says Willie has really come around in the last 2 weeks.
He started a little slow, but, you know, we knew what type of guy we had in that locker room. So to have him hitting like he's doing and leading off innings, getting big doubles, you know, stealing bases, playing good wherever you put him, he's an invaluable piece of this team.
Last night was also the second appearance of the season, first at home for closer Joan Duran. Picked up a save earlier in the week, then came in and shut the door in the ninth inning. Now will he be able to go today if needed?
Yeah, so maybe I can go and throw him tomorrow again. But I'm not thinking I have more responsibility because we have a lot of good guys in the bullpen. So, yeah.
Major Rocco Baldelli earlier this week summed up the winning streak. It just has everybody playing with confidence.
It's one of those things where you get to really identify what momentum feels like, the positive energy feels like, and guys feeding off of each other. That's what's going on here right now, and I don't know how to look at it any other way, but it's when that starts to happen, you feel like you're going to win every game. You feel like you keep the game close. Some days you win by a few, and other days when it's real tight, you feel like you can come back.
Twins go for an even dozen, 12 in a row today with the Red Sox. Afternoon games today and tomorrow as well, 12:30 pregame. Today it's Pablo Lopez on the mound for the Twins. 12:30 pregame here on KOKK. Reminder as well, Timberwolves have the game one of their conference semifinal series in Denver tonight. 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock tip-off, and that'll be here on KOKK as well. Territorial Rodeo Update brought to you by Premier Equipment is coming up next. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Here we go with another action-packed edition of America's Top 5 Countdown on over 60 hometown flame-throwing radio stations. All across North America on Sirius XM 147 Rural Radio and worldwide on Agra America. Welcome aboard. Just saw the press release that